Hey everyone, Lisa Resnick here with Homes and Hops. Staying away from the hops today, got my booster shot, so drinking some Gatorade. That supposedly is the aid to help you through getting your vaccinations this season. And ironically enough, I am here today with somebody who knows a lot about aid and helping, Rachel DeToma with the American Red Cross. Hey, Rachel.
Hi, Lisa. Good morning. How are you?
Good. So far, so good. It's been about an hour, so we shall see.
So you just keep drinking your Gatorade. You'll be good to go. I'm always big on hydrating, so just keep drinking away. Gatorade.
I think I drank a gallon of it before I even went to get my shot because I'm like, I can't have downtime. You know, it's the holiday season.
Nope. Got to keep going.
Got to keep going. Work doesn't stop. Life doesn't stop. We both have kids.
Yeah. So
we need to make sure we're always on our A game.
That's for sure. We don't have a moment's peace or rest.
No, we don't. So Rachel, tell everybody your role with the American Red Cross.
Sure. So as you mentioned, I'm Rachel DeToma. I'm the executive director of the American Red Cross of Greater Akron in the Mahoning Valley. Most recently, I was, and about 2 years ago, we went through a realignment right before COVID happened, actually, and I was overseeing Summit Portage in Medina, and after that realignment, took on Trumbull, Mahoning, and Columbiana County as well.
Well, welcome to the Valley.
Thank you. Everyone's been really wonderful. I think that we certainly have an amazing mission at the Red Cross, and the community sees value in that and has embraced change, and we continue to push forward to deliver mission.
So the American Red Cross is pretty expansive in the aid that they provide to our community and nationally. Would you mind touching a little bit about everything that the Red Cross does encompass and has their fingers on, whether we know it or not?
Sure. Most people think, you know, Red Cross is there for a national disaster, or others think that, oh, that's where I would go to give blood. But really, it's a wide variety of items. We service individuals both near and far. Most people would know about us serving on a local level would be if someone were to experience a home fire, or if there was flooding in a certain area, we'd be able to come in and to help those individuals, provide assistance to what we really consider someone's darkest day. I mean, imagine going through life every single day with everything you have under your roof, and then in seconds, within 2 minutes, all of it's gone. Yep. So that is something locally that we work through with the most amazing volunteers and our fire partners throughout the community. I kind of really look at, no one really needs the Red Cross until they need us. And we try to look at that in a different way, where it's more of a prepare, respond, and recover approach, preparing individuals through home fire safety and our free smoke alarm program that we offer, no questions asked in the community, to helping someone if, by God, there was a fire or a flood. We're very fortunate here in Ohio. We don't see tornadoes too often or hurricanes by any stretch of the means. So,
no, definitely not.
Right. So our main service that we do specifically in the Mahoning Valley, as well as across Northeast Ohio region, is more so a home fire preparedness, as well as the response and recovery side of it.
That's interesting, because I always, like you mentioned, the natural disasters. And I know that in the Valley, we've definitely experienced a lot more rain lately that has increased flood zones in our area and has impacted people commercially and residentially. But I never realized that you guys even trickle down to the micro level to an individual.
Right. So when an individual, one of our fire partners in the community were to happen upon a fire in the middle of the night, we have volunteers that are on an on-call schedule that will go out and help that family no matter what hour of the day it is. So the process and how it works is the fire department will call us, whether it's during business hours or after hours, and an answering service were to get that call. They then dispatch those volunteers that are on the on-call list. they would meet at the chapter location to take a Red Cross vehicle and get the necessary supplies that they would need to help service the family based on what the fire department has actually shared with us of the situation. So upon arrival, we really assess that situation and the scene to kind of say, these are the immediate needs that we need to provide that family with food, clothing, and shelter to get them through the next 3 days. You're standing there more times with no shoes on or in your pajamas if it is in the middle of the night and you have all your medication is inside. Your eyeglasses are inside. Your child's formula could be inside. Diapers are inside. So we really assess that to kind of say, these are your needs that we're going to have. We're going to get you put up somewhere to stay. We're going to get you the clothing that you need and the food assistance that you need. So how that's done is through a client assistance card. So that card, very much like a Visa gift card, is loaded up with the actual dollar that is needed to sustain that family for the next 3 days. And during that 3-day process, we then work with our volunteer case managers, as well as the family who has been affected by that, to kind of say, what's the next steps now? And then we work with other organizations in the community to provide them that long-term care that they may need. If by chance there happens to be an unfortunate fatality, which we have seen many across the chapter specifically, we do also provide that grief counseling to get them through really some of those, that actual dark time, and assist. And also too, if they are in need of funeral assistance, we would provide that as well.
I remember being in DC and meeting with someone. I don't even know what brought me to the American Red Cross there, which is it's a beautiful building.
Yes.
It's gorgeous. And talking with them about how basically their seats, the people who are there, you contract and you expand. And the expansion is just intense and it's immediate. To be able to adapt to those situations. Do we experience that here in Ohio?
I think we see a lot of that really when we have large scale fires where we're assisting multi-units of apartments, those type of things where we see individuals where in 5 minutes, we think we have five cases and then we come to see, no, it's actually, we have 45 cases. So it gives us the ability, we have to provide this duty of disaster relief to the community in which we serve. It's an unfunded mandate by Congress to do that. And so we rely on local funders to help us do that. So
That's interesting. I didn't realize it was unfunded. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so
folks will say, well, you know, the Red Cross, you guys have a government plate on your Red Cross vehicle.
Yes.
And people think, oh, it must be funded by the government. We certainly apply for funding just like every other organization, you know, across the country. But we really rely on the power of donors through the local community in which we serve. So we certainly have the statistics to back up the actual need for the funding locally. Those dollars do stay local. While we are a national organization, those dollars are intended to stay local to help the community in which we all live in today.
Now, when people want to donate, like, and I had mentioned to you over the phone regarding the tornadoes in Kentucky.
Sure.
When people want to locally reach out on the national level, do they channel through our local chapter?
Some people choose to. Some folks go right to national. We always like to, of course, to have that dollar here local. So then when we have a disaster, we can be used in the area that is needed most for disaster relief. Some folks want a specific designation to go to the Kentucky tornadoes, and it absolutely does. So really, if folks call the chapter headquarters, which we have two buildings now, one in Akron and one in Austin Town, either one of those that they come into the main chapter line, we can orchestrate that donation locally. In addition to, they can also go online to redcross.org and make that donation just to the overall organization. Or if they go to redcross.org/NOH, we can manage that donation locally.
That's amazing. And there's so many different layers to the American Red Cross. And you had mentioned the other layer is blood donation. It was funny. So Rachel and I had spoken also last week about doing this interview today, her being a guest. And then I was watching on WFMJ the other day. Mm-hmm. This is also a push for blood right now, right?
Right.
Blood donations.
I think, you know, when COVID happened, individuals thought, you know, everything else was going to be stopping too. But there are individuals who solely rely on weekly, monthly blood transfusions, and the blood supply is very low to be able to sustain those individuals that are non-surgical patients or emergency need, individuals who have sickle cell disease or individuals who have cancer. These are all things that, I mean, they rely on every day just to continue to live pain-free or to live. So, right. These are the things that, you know, we have blood drives across the country that were being canceled by the minutes when COVID started to almost 2 years ago. We are in an emergency. Everyone always thinks you're always in an emergency blood supply. We absolutely are, because blood doesn't have a shelf life like a bag of potato chips. This is something that is, it's not something that can stay on the shelf for a long period of time. So that is something that we're constantly, you know, in need of new blood to replace anything that one has not been used or that we have a very little supply of a certain blood type. So constantly in a need. Summer and winter tend to be our biggest parts when we are in need, because a lot of college campuses go away during those times. And the youth are amazing donors, and college campuses are closed. They were closed, you know, even during COVID. So corporations that would typically run every, you know, 50 plus days, they too were closed. So, you know, we've just challenged us to get donations in a different way. And it's certainly, people are so generous, but the need is ever so great for blood. And we hope folks, you know, during this holiday season would give that gift of life to someone. It certainly is something that is a gift that I don't want to say we all can give, because there are some certain parameters that folks just cannot do it. But giving the gift of life is something that's incredible. And
are tattoos still a parameter?
You remember? They were, yes. So it has to be for a certain amount of time that you can go through the process, that you have to kind of be in a holding pattern where you're not able to give blood. There's it's called Rapid Pass that you can download on your phone through the Red Cross Blood app. And it will go through those questionnaires to see if you're eligible to give blood. You can even call 1-800-RED-CROSS and they'll go through some of those questionnaires as well with you to make sure that when you're looking for a drive to donate that gift of life, that you are going to be eligible to be able to do so.
I have to, so with COVID, and I know it definitely impacted with cancellations of the drives. Do you think that people are holding back on donating as well because they either had it and are concerned about whether or not they're able or eligible to donate that may still want to, or if the vaccination has an impact on donating blood?
Well, I mean, there are that questionnaire. I mean, people were coming in to see one if they had the antibody when we were doing the free antibody testing.
Yes.
Because we aren't doing that anymore at this point in time. The vaccination does not prohibit you from giving blood. So if you have been vaccinated, again, you're going to go through that questionnaire, but it does not prohibit you from coming in and giving blood.
Okay. And then do you need to make sure that your COVID, I'm assuming, yes, you should make sure you're COVID free before coming in as well. But is it beyond, do you retest? Because I believe it's 14 days quarantine right now. Do you need to go retake another test to make sure that you then test negative before you donate?
Those testings, we don't do the testing for COVID at the Red Cross. So of course we go through the questionnaires just like we would if we were scheduling a doctor's appointment, have been exposed. And then if, you know, some of those preliminary questions are answered that have you contracted, it might defer you at that point in time, but it depends on the date of when your actual exposure was or when you had COVID. So I just really strongly encourage folks that if they've had COVID or if they've had the vaccination, just to go through that pre-qualification piece, just like you would at your doctor to go and give blood for any type of testing that you may need. So it's a quick process. It certainly is quick and painless, but at the end result of, you know, giving someone life, that's certainly a token enough to be able to go out and give blood today.
100%. I completely agree. I have to also ask about partnerships. You had mentioned earlier about how after the 3 days you work with other community nonprofits, besides individuals' donations, I'm sure, to be able to still provide aid to the families. How does that connection start?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of times we're super fortunate, specifically in the Mahoning Valley, as well in Greater Akron, that we have a lot of partners that we have established through our United Way contacts in the community. Those partners and other nonprofits that we work with collaboratively know of the services that we offer, and we know the services that they offer. So they're our first go-tos when we're needing assistance as well, to kind of say, hey, we have this family. If it's a family that's been displaced, and there may have been domestic violence, we don't know at this point in time. We would work, you know, with the shelters or domestic violence agencies to be able to provide assistance for the long term at that point in time. Or if it's a clothing component, I know in Greater Akron, we have a partnership with Goodwill Industries. So there is the option then to them to go shop at Goodwill with an emergency fund card as well. So it's amazing to see how, you know, nonprofits are always out there saying, please donate, please donate. But behind the scenes, we work together so wonderfully, just really with the end result of helping individuals in our community. So those partnerships are there. They are thriving. And as a community, we owe that to the citizens of the area. So
it is so important. I say it all the time that organizations such as yourself or two awesome ones that you just mentioned, United Way and Goodwill, that we have these entities and amenities in our communities because they do help us out. I mean, there are tons of voids in life, and we need those plugs to come in and help fill us up so we don't find ourselves overrun with what could occur if we didn't have it.
Sure. I think too, people will always say, you know, as we've gone through, COVID's opened up our eyes in so many ways. It's certainly no secret on that. But as an organization and or other organizations in the community, dollars are stretched thin, and we have to collaborate to meet the needs of the community. This is not just the Red Cross community or Goodwill's community or whatever it may be. This is our community as a whole. And it's really up to the organizations, nonprofits like the American Red Cross and others that I've mentioned and so many more to be sure that we're fulfilling the needs for our community opposed to ourselves. So it's truly a beautiful relationship that we do have with many organizations. One organization could certainly not exist without the other. And that's what's so wonderful about nonprofits.
And you have one major commonality in your mission, and that is helping.
Yep, absolutely.
And once you come from that, then you're able to bridge and collaborate together and formulate your own community within, which is pretty amazing. So how did you end up in the nonprofit world?
Well, my story is actually, I had no intentions of doing what I'm doing right now. I think most people say, you know, we go to school and when I grow up, I want to be. When I was growing up, I never said I wanted to be the executive director of the Red Cross or anything along those lines. I actually thought I was going to be a nurse one day. And I mean, I guess it's the process of helping people as a whole, but I went to school at the University of Akron, and I was in social services, and I actually...
You have always then been...
And then I ended up shadowing an individual in an alumni group that I was associated with, and she was the executive director of the March of Dimes, and I thought, oh, this is great. So that shadowing experience of 8 hours that day turned into being a job interview that I was hired right out of college to start in the fundraising sector. And then I have now, this is my going on my 22nd year in nonprofits with a strong background in fundraising. And for the last 8 years, been the executive director.
So fundraising has to be one of the toughest jobs. It really does.
I would say, you know, tough it may be, but I think that it's also, it can be tough, but it's super fulfilling when an individual is thinking of your organization and you have the honor to even have a meeting with someone who has the capacity to give a large gift or even a small gift. People think, well, what is my dollar, or my $5 doing?
Oh, it adds up.
It adds up. It adds up to millions across the community. Yep. That we're able to serve. So every little bit helps, whether it's a financial contribution or, as we mentioned earlier, you know, the gift of life through a blood donation. So individuals, I think at times you think, how is this going to happen? This is, you know, it turns into feeling very much like sales at time. But, you know, what I can offer an individual in making a gift to the American Red Cross is not only the amazing feeling you get showing where it goes towards, but knowing that you are really helping someone when they think about helping someone when they are standing outside with nothing but a blanket wrapped around them from an organization in the community or a family of sewing ladies that knitted that blanket or sewed that blanket for you. So it truly is the opportunity to give back in a multitude of ways. And it gives us the liberty to share the story and all the amazing things we are doing. So people may think it is challenging. Yes, but it is absolutely fulfilling when someone says, yes, I would like to make a contribution in honor of someone or just because of the amazing work that you're doing in the community.
It's so true. And for all those brides out there that had to delay their weddings in 2020 that are still making way, a great idea too is to, instead of offering people the little treats, the little candies, is offer a donation to an organization such as the Red Cross.
Yeah, we've gotten
in honor of the person's name.
We've gotten a lot of that. We've gotten a lot of children foregoing their birthday gifts this time of year and making donations to the our organization, which is absolutely, as a mother,
yes.
I think that if my child were to do that, I know. And of course, in the background that I'm in, I tend to think that in my home, no pun intended, we bleed philanthropy. So it tends to be, you know, you're constantly hearing about gifts of service and selfless acts. And I think that, you know, as yourself as a mother, I am a mom, and there's so many other moms out there that I'm sure listen to your show, is that take a step back, you know, and we know what our kids need and want and go through this process, and just continue to instill that gift of community and philanthropy in the kids that we have. So also fantastic.
That's our opportunity to get them started now. So it's second nature to them and they don't even think about it as an adult.
Exactly.
Which is an amazing gift that we have that opportunity to have.
For sure.
So, I am this week not in my typical studio. I'm in Justin Coffin's seat. I like to call it his seat at the 330 Sports of Youngstown studio. So I've noticed, and I don't know if you've noticed this, Rachel, the people walking in the background the entire time.
Yes.
I almost want, like, I'm that kid that was a student in class that if somebody walked by the door, I always like squirrel and would look. So I keep watching behind me too. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe we should do like a little competition and see if people can get the right amount of people who walk by the door, and maybe they'll get a six pack from a local brewer of their choice. So we might do that. That'll be fun.
You got a good spot there.
It is a good spot. It's a great studio, but thank you so much for joining. I know it is literally 2 days before Christmas, including today. So if you're like me, there's still things that need to be done.
There's some small finishing touches. Then I have to make that ever so brave leap to the grocery store at this point for my one last thing that, you know, that you forget on your list. But
that's right.
But I really appreciate the time. I appreciate you reaching out. We're always happy to share the amazing work that we as an organization do at the American Red Cross, but also our countless partners in the Mahoning Valley community. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on, and I hope that you join again.
Thanks so much. Take care, everyone. Happy holidays.
Bye.
Bye.
Holmes & Hopps is proudly supported by Platt Insurance, your local independent insurance agency offering auto, home, life, business, and farm insurance. They also have a team of specialists that help you with insuring your brewery or winery. Platt Insurance, helping you protect your tomorrow. For more information or a quote, please call them at 330-856-6244 or visit them on the web at plattinsurance.com.